Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, and how are you? And let's bring on, let's try this one more time. All right, let's bring on April. Hello, April, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Okay, good. Let's bring on D, too. Oh, my gosh, D just went up on. That's freaking
what?
D's number came up on the queue three times. So, yeah, D and April on. April, welcome, how are you? She's Mitch's remote viewer here. So, how are you tonight?
Where's D?
Me?
D's right there.
I'm here.
Oh, so I get it. You look up to D then.
I am okay.
Well, I'll just bow out.
I didn't know I was okay, but thanks for telling me.
Magic of three going on there. Did you hear me?
I did.
Yeah. No, we can hear you. I just got a thing. I might have to shut the Skype thing off so we can just talk on the radio. All right? Did you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Ready? Because we're getting a nice echo. Oh, shoot. How do you do this? Okay, there we go. So let me sit here and I just want to sit and tell everybody, welcome to the show. How are you? If you want to give us a call in here and talk to April, she can remote some views. Say you lost some keys. I'm pretty sure she can help you find them. And Dee, she's got her expertise, too, and then she's also got a lot of things going on for her, too. We'll go over it in a second. But if you want to give a call in here and get a reading, we're doing readings for 2 hours. And if you want to give us your insights about Atlantis, I've actually had some people talk about certain things that they only have their own little influences and kind of stuff. So especially when it comes to alien astronauts and that kind of stuff, what they want to stick to their own punches on that whole thing about the alien astronauts and the influences and that kind of thing. So if you want to give a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Again, that's 646-721-9031. Also, I want to throw out there real quick with our sponsor, Richard Palenga, and basically say, Richard, if you're out there listening, thank you for sponsoring the show, and thank you for giving us the influence we got and the support. He's also, Richard also has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. And if you want to check out some really good spiritual products, check out this website because it's really good and they're really great, great, great products. So go to DivineBodyWash.com. And right now, if you really want to check out those products and actually want to experience those products and use them for yourself, all you need to do is donate $25 to this show. And Richard says for each person who donates $25 to the show, he will give them a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist too as well. So check that out. If you want to donate to this show, go to www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And again, that website again to go to make those donations is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And as soon as you donate, there's a donate button. Just push on the donate button. We'll get those things.
Cool.
Also, once you do, give me a call at 740-500-8863 with the information, or you can leave the information on the contact page, whichever is good for you, and we'll get that to you, get that body wash and that body mist, depending on how much you donate. We will get that to you as soon as possible, if not in the next, hopefully in the 48 hours. But definitely check it out, that kind of thing. Also, if you want to sponsor the show, as Richard did, and who's also getting his product and himself promoted, and also supporting the show as we give out the message and we're all working together as one complete entity of getting the message out. That's just all you can do. All you have to do is it's a $40 flat fee to actually sponsor the show. And also, which is, I don't think you can actually get that anywhere out there. So give us a call, 740-500-8863 if you want to sponsor the show. It's just a flat $40 fee a month. And you can donate, or you can sponsor the show as well. If you want to advertise this show, it's the same thing. Get your product promoted, advertised on this show, and all it costs you is $40. What a day. It's only $40, flat fee. Also, like I said before, I do private readings, and right now we're having a great March special where if you, for calling the show, for listening, we can call or listen or whatever. But it's $33 and $33 for a 60-minute session. It's $22.22 for a 40-minute session. And for a 20-minute session, it's only $11.11. For a one-card angel reading, which will give you the insights of what each one of these cards can do, but on a one-card scale, that's only $9.99. And also we do group readings where you get 5 or 10 of your friends together. And for using it for a flat fee of $150, which covers all the people in the group reading itself, where they will get a 20 to 40 minute session and a 40, card readings, but you'll definitely get between the 20 to 40 minute session. Those are going for in March. So the month of March, they're only going for $77.77. And we can do those all kinds of variations too. We can either come to you as in Skype. If you have a laptop and you have Skype, we can come there and be there, and we can do all kinds of things, palm readings, past life readings, and the angel card readings too as well. Or you can do it in person to 5 or 10 of your friends. If you have a party, it's usually a flat fee of $150. But for the month of March, if you have a party going on right now, you want us to come there and be there in person or be there via Skype, it's only $77.77. So for all the details and all those things, just give us a call here at 740-500-8863. Or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835. Or, as I said before, contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Okay, Dee, getting information for you, too, as well, so they can contact you for sessions and your jewelry.
Okay. My phone number is 207-374-5072. My email address is spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. For Yahoo Messenger, it's fairyinthemoonlight@yahoo.com, spelled F-A-E-R-Y. For MSN Messenger, it's spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. And if I take PayPal, everything's for donations, $60 for an hour phone reading, $20 for email, $20, $25, whatever, somewhere in there, donation for the messengers, and I'll work within your budget, get back to you within 24 hours. So if you really need a reading and you don't, you know, and you think that $60, whatever, is too much, just and you just don't have it, you know, connect with me and we'll work together and work something out. And if you're interested in Dreamweaver Designs jewelry, just email my regular email address for now, and I can send you pictures and show you exactly, give you some idea of what I do, and we can work together to see what might interest you. If you're interested in some chakra jewelry, whatever it happens to be, we'll work together and see what we can do. Hopefully that's
all right.
I got you.
All right, cool. No problem. Like I said before, you want to give a call here now and get a reading and get an idea of exactly how we work. Get a firsthand knowledge and insights to how we do these readings before we actually make that choice to sit down and do a private session with us. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. You get a couple questions answered. Or we do these three-card angel readings too as well. And we give you as much time as it takes. So, give us a call. We're right here for the next 2 hours. And actually, it's an hour and 48 minutes and 6 seconds. That number again is 646-721-9031. And we're sitting here talking about Atlantis, and we're putting some aspects in the whole thing. And I actually talked to a lady today who was on the alien astronaut thing, which I was sitting here talking to her about some things where I felt like, you know, some people do have a tendency to put up the situation of saying that aliens might have. I did see this one thing. I was watching the History Channel, and that during the war, World War II, the military actually took over an island, and there was a primitive native race on there. And the whole time they were there, the Americans gave them the supplies and all kinds of good stuff. So, and then when they left, the natives started building airplane mocks of airplanes and stuff like that, trying to get them to come back because they were so good to them, they wanted them to come back and do it again. And some alien astronaut people think that's the same thing with ancient man too as well, that aliens came here and did these things for them. And then they started making these mock-ups and stuff like that, the paintings and the statues and that kind of stuff, and tribute to them to try to get them to come back. And I was like, that's a nice thing to think about. But in the situation we look at here, was the thing I was looking at was they were still on the same planet, the Americans and this native tribe that was on that island. They're still on the planet Earth, and they're still contributing. In some sense of the word, they're both contributing to each other. So that's what my theory was the ideal primitive man was actually being visited and actually coexisting with another human race that was on here that was just farther advanced. So I have to sit here and watch these things very clearly. You know what I'm saying? They're sort of using it as a theory. I see your theory, but they're both these civilizations are here on the planet. Americans and the natives. So I'm saying Atlanteans and primitive man, same planet, same times, that same bat channel, you know. So it was amazing to talk to some people, and I understand that they love that part about the aliens, and it's fascinating. And I'm not saying it didn't happen to a point. I mean, when we have the crop circles over in Europe, and I think, I don't know if we've ever had any crop circles here in the United States or not, have we? Does anybody know about that?
I'm sure we do. They're all over the world, the crop circles. I heard that they were navigation points for the people flying in space, because you can't see the entire crop circle unless you're very high up in the sky.
So it makes sense. And so some of these things are very some of these things are very elaborate too. Did you hear that? What was the one theory about the supposedly in England there was these two old dudes who sit there and claim that they were the one going around doing all the crop circles. Did you guys hear that story?
No. Can you tell us about it?
No. Yes, I'll tell
you
about
it. Well, in that case, we should hang up on him.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying what happened was they started having all these crop circles, and it was like almost every week they were getting another one. It was getting more elaborate and that kind of stuff. So these two guys came out of nowhere and claimed that they did these crop circles, even to the point where they showed you how they did it. The only difference about the only thing that was contradicting to the whole thing is that scientists actually went in and investigated these crop circles, and the one thing that baffled them the most was there was also radiation detected, and it said that whatever did these things made the crop circles but didn't damage the crop itself. So that means the corn and whatever was in the field at the time was pressed in a certain way where it didn't damage it, so it could actually still be harvested. So you're asking yourself what civilization would actually go that far to actually make sure that something wasn't destroyed, so therefore it could contribute to man. So therefore we have the theory that goes back, you know, back to primitive man, of saying that that aliens had a lot to do with technology and advancement with man itself. So they're not disputing the idea of Atlanteans. What they're saying is Atlantis was also influenced by alien technology too. That's why the civilization was so far advanced as it was with dealing with crystals and stuff. But I still sit and look at the situation of Atlanteans with some of the crystal mines that they found here, one they found near Bermuda and one they found near Mexico, around Mexico. I think it's down in Peru, where they have these big, humongous crystals and that kind of stuff, which is only, as far as we know, that's only, you know, to this planet. It's the same thing with Mars. Mars has a lot of certain things about it, too, where it could be inhabitable if it's done right, that you could actually go to Mars and live, too. The atmosphere is a little bit heavier, I think, and a little bit denser because of the iron. The reason it's red is because of ionization. So that can be kind of hard on the breathing, you know. It's like drinking a lot of water with a lot of iron in it. That, you know, really messes up the digestive system and also the idea of breathing. But there was also a thing I saw on this Discovery Channel talking about Mars. Is it alive or dead? When they're actually finding that there may be actually under the... There's ice caps. And there's also, they think from some of the things they've done with the planet itself, there's actually underground rivers and lakes. So they're thinking that some civilizations, maybe the reason you send probes to Mars and all that kind of things, and you don't find anything because you're still on the surface. So it's the idea of trying to figure out what we're going to find if we ever go down there and go underneath the surface, as the idea of trying to really examine the planet to see if there's any way into it, like we have here with caverns and that kind of stuff that actually can take us down. Then we have some caverns in Utah that actually go, they got that one called the Pit. It's a big old pit that goes down for about 2 miles. There's guys who actually take it and parachute into it, and then they climb out of it. There was another place near Virginia, around Gettysburg, around that area. What you do is you have to climb this 800-foot cliff. You get to the top, it's a big old flat stone. You actually hike a little ways into it, and you'll find another pit that goes down. Which it was amazing when they went into the pit that they actually found artifacts from the Civil War. So they're thinking that they used this pit for was for prisoners. All right, we're on again. Anyway, when you sit there and look at some of the things we got going on with some of the way we come up with things and how we utilize them, I just have a tendency to take it back to more of human ingenuity, and the idea of Atlanteans being far advanced might have actually attracted aliens to come here to check it out, not the other way around of influence. What do you think, Dee?
My brain is fried today.
Okay,
well,
so that's what you get for standing
online.
Too close to the fire. Anyway.
What?
How about you, April? Why don't you give us your opinions on the whole thing about what you think about Atlantis itself? Have you heard anything about it, and have you really have an opinion about it yourself of what kind of what are we looking at here when you think about Atlantis? Because I was sitting there, a friend of mine, I'm just trying to make some theories to the blackboard. It might shed some light on the darkness to realize that maybe we're looking for something that still exists, and every time we get close, they might not want to be discovered, so they have a tendency to move. So what do you think?
Well, I actually had a PDF file up about remote viewing Mars.
Uh-huh.
And I can find one on Atlantis, too, if you want. But we were talking about Mars, so that's why I was looking that up. It's
No, that's cool. Look at Mars.
It's a book.
I want to get into it, too. Sorry.
It's called, if you go to the website, www.firedocs.com, and that's firedocs.com/remote-viewing/mars/mars.html. There's a long PDF file about remote viewers and what they saw underneath Mars, and it has illustrations and personal accounts, and it's very interesting. I can put it in the chat room if anyone's in there.
Yeah, put it in the chat room, please, because I'm sure people are going to show up sooner or later. If not, they're lost. I'm sorry, that's the way I look at it. You know, you look at situations and things and say, hey, things are happening for a reason. We'll hang out for a little bit, but, you know, we'll be here for a while. I'll go put some information in a minute. But if you can find some remote viewing on actually Atlantis itself, that's another thing to think about, too. Remote viewing, do some practice on that. How about that tonight, April? You want to sit there and do some remote viewing on a lot of other things?
Sure.
What's that?
What would you like me to remote view?
No, it's the ideal. See what we could actually remote view together is focusing on Atlantis itself. It was that actually came up some people focusing on remote viewing Mars. And if anybody ever saw Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie where it was, what was that movie called? Total Recall? Where actually in Mars, they have these caverns with some kind of mechanics of, it's like dry ice, and then they have another apparatus that comes into it which activates the dry ice, which with this machine or whatever you want to call it, actually creates an atmosphere. And it's said that Mars used to have an atmosphere, and the idea of people remote viewing it started realizing that maybe the movie itself was actually based on more fact than fiction, and the ideal of what the government was actually telling people and what they wasn't telling people. When it came up about the face on Mars, it was something that someone just had the tendency was flipping through some photographs. Some photographs, they were like a big album that NASA had, and they were flipping through these pictures and just happened to come up upon this picture of the face on Mars. Now, people are sitting there saying, well, the face on Mars, it depends who you talk to, but they say that actually resembles the face on the Sphinx. Also, on Mars, where the face on Mars was found, they say, I can't remember how many miles away from that, but it wasn't too far away from that, they actually picked up these objects that actually look like pyramids, too. When they found these pyramids on Mars, they also took some pictures of those, too, and they lined up just like the Great Pyramid here. You know, they have the three, and it looks like the belt of Orion. And the ones on The ones on Mars also light up the same way. There's also two places here on this planet, too, where they have pyramids that do the same thing. They line up and look just like the stars on Orion's belt. So we're thinking that what we're looking at with the situation, which I don't dispute that one, of where an alien race was actually visiting this planet from that section of, I don't know what you call it. There's actually been said, what's kind of funny, what was it? A long time ago, they were talking about, I don't know if everybody remember this, but there was two people, I know Barney and what's, two people were actually the first recorded case of actually abductions. And the one thing that was freaked the people out, when they did a regression with her to pick up his wife, to pick up details of their abduction. And they said they were on a ship, and she said that she noticed a star chart on the wall, and she actually drew it for this scientist. And what was so funny about it was 10 years later, they actually found that solar system. So I'm not disputing the aliens coming to this place and the influence that they might have had. All I'm saying is that with Atlantis, sometimes I think we should give credit that humans can create great things too as well. And maybe within themselves found ways of actually creating these great societies. They were also talking about in Rome, what was this one? It was a great temple that was built, and there's three slabs for the floor that weigh 365,000 tons. Three slabs of slab of stone. But see, the one question you have to ask yourself was, why would they sit there and take these incredible stones to build these things? I'm sure they could have gone another route and still been able to preserve these things for, you know, eons, which they have endured. But still, when you sit there and look at that temple and you see the columns and stuff and you see these three slabs for this floor, you know, it's amazing when you sit there and look at the situation. I mean, it's just mind-baffling when you sit and look at it. And also, if you're out there listening, guys, we're trying to go over some Atlantean stuff and some of the things that we're just kind of curious about for the for the Tuesdays and Thursdays shows. But we're still doing readings, guys. So if you're wanting to get a reading and you want to get some answers to some questions, please do so. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. If you also want to take advantage of private readings, all you need to do is call my number, 740-500-8863, or 740-601-9835, or go to the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And also, we're talking about donations, and our sponsor, Richard Palenga, who actually has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. And for our listeners, Richard is saying for each person who donates $25 or more, I'm sorry, whoever donates $25 will get a bottle of this body wash. So go check out the website itself so you can see these products so you can understand it's a good deal. DivineBodyWash.com. And for each person who donates $25 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist. And also, with the things that are going on, you can also take it like this, too. What was I at? It was like we're having some really great specials this month, too. So please call us and get the details. Also, sponsorship was only $40 a month to sponsor the show. Plus, you want to get some, just want us to advertise a product of yours. It's only a flat fee of $40, too, as well. Also, you can reach Dee for readings, too, and some jewelry, and give them the information about that, too, Dee. did shoot my Sayathon. I was D. Okay, let's go back and see what happened to D. Hold on. Okay, hold on.
She said she got disconnected.
Yeah, I know. I'm picking up now. All right, D, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, D. Now I wonder why there was so much silence. I said, okay, D, tell them how they can reach you for the readings and your jewelry. Give them the information, please.
Okay. Right, for my readings, phone me at 207-374-5072. Send me an email on spiritwindthemessenger at hotmail.com. For Yahoo Messenger, it's fairyinthemoonlight@yahoo.com, F-A-E-R-Y. Hotmail Messenger, it's spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. And now this reading is a donation of about $60. $20 donation for an email reading for Yahoo and MSN, $20-$25 somewhere in there. It's all donation. I take PayPal. And please, I'll work with your budget. I'll get back with you within 24 hours. So don't worry, about my suggested prices. If it's a problem for you, just get back to me and we'll work something out. My jewelry is Dreamweaver Designs. And for now, since I don't have a website up, please just use my Spirit Wind box until I get everything settled around and actually use my Dreamweaver Designs at Hotmail again. I do stone jewelry, stone beads, and good sterling silver or silver from handmade silver from Thailand. If you're interested in something in the chakra vein, we can do that. Just get in touch with me, and I can send you some pictures to give you an idea of what I do. Anything, if you have something special in mind, just let me know and I'll see what I can do for you. I think that should cover it. It's been a wicked day.
Yeah, it's also the situation out there, guys, too. If you have a child that's gifted and you don't know how to deal with the situation or how to approach it, or definitely want that child to progress and really work to use their gifts and that kind of stuff. Also, I work with children and parents and how to help them to understand how to work together to actually promote that child and even realize that if your child is gifted, more likely you are too. So in those situations, just give us a call at 740-500-8863. Also with sponsorship, always call the private number, which is 740-500-8863. And we'll definitely get back with you in less than 24 hours. So, hey, it's one of those things we'd love for you to get the message as quick as possible. And when people want readings, I think it's one thing is the ideal. Come to the table and say, this is what I can do, and see what happens. You never know. Like I said in the Bible, you have not because you ask not, so ask for everything. And when you don't get what you want, as in the asking part, there's a learning lesson there, too, to prove to you that, okay, maybe you didn't get that, but I guarantee you definitely what they're pointing out to you is something better. So always take that consideration, like when we were talking about this before, too, D, about people getting fired and going, okay, there's no reason to go out there and shoot everybody. I said, if everybody had an arrow on their forehead, then we'd probably understand that in the process of getting fired, it's pointing you into a new direction and realize it's done. Doesn't matter why.
Right.
It doesn't matter what's going on. It's the idea it's done. It's over. I mean, do we need to put an arrow on a guy's head and say, okay, this direction, please? And it's one of those things of looking at things just like that. When things come to an end, don't really put a lot of energy into it. Just realize it's come to an end and realize there's another beginning out there that you just need to open yourself up to. And also, guys, like we said before, mm-hmm. We're doing readings and we're getting very impatient here because we got answers for the people we know is for the call and get a reading today. So come on in. We can see you. We can help you. So take the proper steps and let's all sit here and focus and say, angels, bring those people to us who need the help. So we can all sit down, do a couple readings here on the show, and give them some answers right now. Give them some direction. If it's just the idea of sitting down and doing a full session, it's the idea of the experience itself. And we're right here tonight, ready to give you that experience and also the situation going on. So with the situation, April, you said you were focusing on Atlantis itself. The one thing I was curious about when you started saying you saw cars, and the first thing I saw was like the idea of vision, you get a visual of what kind of cars are we talking about. Because it was said that Atlanteans believed in working with nature, so I can't imagine having vehicles with any kind of gas combustion, which is actually bad for the atmosphere, for the environment. So did you get any details about the cars, or did you just see them yourself?
I saw one specific car in general because I was looking at one location in time. It was green and shiny, and it looks like it was floating. It was running off something that we don't have. It looks a lot more advanced than the cars we have now.
How so?
It looks like maybe it could fly.
Okay, so
it could go faster.
Well, why are we going to ask the question?
It kind of reminded me of the spaceships, actually. But
very
it was
pointy.
A car.
And like what are we talking about? Aerodynamics, like the front part of it's like really kind of sharp and pointy.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
It ran similar to a spaceship, but it was a car.
Well, can we say something like that? I was saying before when I watched that Disney movie. Remember that Disney movie called The Lost Empire? I don't know if you've ever seen
it. Maybe, but I didn't
see
it.
Well, in the movie, they show that they have this blue crystal, and everybody has a blue crystal around their neck, and it's also great for healing, and it's almost like this. It's like the doctors have got the chemotherapy, but they're using the wrong kind of components. Okay. Instead of using radiation, it's like looking at it this way. It's like they're using high doses of radiation. And it's the idea of experimenting with it with more on low doses of radiation, like that kind of radiation that you can actually emit from crystals, taking energy that we normally use for manifestation, and the idea of using the same thing to amplify it with crystals to also manifest a healing within one person. Actually, we're sort of studying quantum healing. And what quantum healing is when a person will take their hands on both sides of a healing, like on a damaged part of your body, and they'll put both hands on both sides. What they're actually doing is they're enabling the body itself that they're tapping into. That body's also tapping into your body because you don't have an ailment. So it's tapping into a perfect it has to have a perfect image to work with so it can heal itself. So what you're doing is you put your hands and you're putting energy into this so the body can actually, that you're working with, can heal itself, but it's also tapping into you like a computer. It sees you. So you're like the computer program of a human body without no damaged parts. So this body will tap into that. At the same time, you're giving it energy, so you're both creating like a field, okay? So it taps into the perfect pattern, comes back into the body, uses the energy to duplicate what it's already tapped into, so therefore it can heal itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So basically what's happening is it's like when in the Bible, when Jesus touches somebody, and one lady in particular was basically got herself to the crowd, and she touched his robe, and Jesus said, when she said, "Thank you for healing me," and Jesus said, "No, basically your faith healed you. If she wouldn't have had faith in what she was doing, then it would never have happened. But she knew that for a fact, and when she got there and touched him, that she would be healed." Okay, so we have the faith, we have the energy within herself, tapping into his energy. He's a perfect being, he's a perfect pattern. So her body taps into that, takes that picture, and the energy is created between the both of them, and then amplifies it, and then enables the person who with the damaged product to heal that. So it duplicates the pattern that they tapped into. So now she doesn't have that ailment or that injury anymore. Actually, there was a nun, I can't remember her name, but she was talking about, she used to do healing. She'd call Jesus in, and they would heal. And she said it was kind of amazing that sometimes when you herself would heal people, that she'd have to question herself later on, did it really happen? Did he really have that ailment? Did that healing happen? Because she said those experiences were so powerful, and they changed so quickly. And she also used to talk about why there were certain people who would get healed instantly compared to other people, it would take a while for the healing would happen. The healing happened, but it happened over a span of 6 months. She said the reason, what she got out of the whole thing and what the message that came to her was, the reason it took these people so long to heal, it didn't take them that long to heal. It was a learning experience for them, because if they would have got an instant healing, they wouldn't have learned anything from it, and they more likely would put them back in the same situation again, where they would be wanting that healing to heal themselves. So what happened was, it's a slow process, so that person can learn some things about themselves, what got them into that situation or whatever, where they needed a healing. So you see, all variations of all kinds of stuff are happening out there today, and they're happening everywhere. Because we were talking about this the other night too, when we saw Atlantis and all the thing, that we have people around the world who are doing Reiki and healings and spiritualists and spiritual advisors and all kinds of stuff. And we have pockets of them here and there and everywhere. But it was like the idea of looking at a society where that's the whole society is that way. That when you're born, more than likely you would become a healer or a Reiki master because your parents were before you and the parents before you before that. And even if you didn't, there were so many variations in healing and Reiki and all this other stuff that more than likely it would always be some kind of spiritual. But it's not like today, you know. Like today people say, you need to become a doctor like your dad, or you need to become a, you know, people go into the family business and that kind of stuff. But some of these businesses are based more on the idea of money and all that kind of good stuff. And back then, there's no pressure. It's just the ideal. It's something you're brought up with, and it's always been a part of your life and the process of being spiritual and very positive and stuff like that. You had no problem going into following in your foot in the father's footprints or the mother's footprints because of where you came from and the nature of the career and the spiritual realm, that you had no problem with it. Not like today, most people rebel from it because of not believing in it. My dad's a construction worker, or he owns a construction company, and he's a multimillionaire. But it's the idea of a physical sense, and also more on the money sense, so therefore they have a tendency to get away from the whole thing because they want to do something more natural with their lives. Well, back in that, I guess you would sit here and look at the situation of Atlantis, that they already was doing things with their lives. They were already focusing and more likely following their life purpose. So it was a whole lot easier to keep going forward with it because it just made more sense with your life and also brought balance within your life. But some of the things today, we see that family businesses and people following other people's footprints because they just wasn't that balanced and people are looking for that. So if you want to give a call in here, give us a call, 646-721-9031. We've got plenty of time. We got an hour and 16 minutes and 57 seconds. It's now 8:43 p.m. here in the mountains of Colorado. We're here broadcasting from Manitou Springs. It is now 8:43 p.m. We got plenty of time. So if you want to give us a call in here, please do so. And if you want to talk about Atlantis, that's fine. We were going to try to direct it a little bit different in a different direction and talk about relationships themselves, because it seems like a lot of people are really focusing on that too, and it seems like everybody's really focused and being drawn to the spiritual lifestyle for one reason. It seems like they're looking for real love in life. I guess they're just tired of the rat race and realizing there's so many imbalances within working a day-to-day job. So you're either focused more on the money or kissing someone's ass. And they're getting to the point right now where they're sick of the ideal of bad breath and not enough cash. Okay? So, in that kind of sense, people are looking for something more natural in their lives and the ideal. And it's not the ideal of looking for something more natural. It's the ideal of realizing they're just looking for their true selves. We had this the other day, too. I talked about this today, too, where a lady was talking about, was her ex still in love with his ex? And I said, more likely if he was a loving, nurturing, caring person, which is his natural nature, more likely he still does love his ex. And she had a little bit of trouble with that. And I said, don't be, because it's just the ideal nature of the whole thing, that a guy portrays himself as a womanizer and all this other stuff on the surface as a macho thing to cover up his true self, because you think that's embarrassing to some people around him, his friends and that kind of stuff. So it was one of those things that pointed it out. So what is that noise?
Sorry about that. I should have put the mute on. Would you like some chewable Pepto-Bismol?
Right. So with a situation like that, you know, I'm trying to get some freaking thing here too. Woo. So. So April, you still there?
Yeah, I was typing in the chat room, in your chat room.
Oh, was you? And how is it the chat room? I was going to sit there and ask you if there's anybody in the chat room who might want a question answered or something like that.
No, we were talking about illness and people needing to be sick. And after they get healed, they get right back sick again.
That's true too, sweetie, but it's like this. When you say, look at the situation, the power of the mind. They had a situation, for example, they had a lady, they healed her of her sight. Now she can see. But the one thing she had a bad problem with was people around her in her own subconscious mind where she was saying, I can't believe. I cannot believe I can see. I cannot believe I can't see. I mean, you know, I can't believe I can see. Well, she was saying this over and over again. Next thing you know, 2 days, 3 days later, where's she at? Back where she started. Why? Because we look at the situation, the power of suggestion, which we know does exist, but in the process of being influenced by other
definitely.
People and other situations, they have a tendency to take it back. So what we need to do is focus on our perception and our perception only, that we see ourselves as perfectly healthy. And when we start seeing these situations, allow ourselves to expand our minds to realize that these healings do happen and that our lives can be changed to the point where the disease is basically an infraction because of the lack of belief. You know, some people need, and then the idea of saying people, some people need the illness. I think we need to sit and take ourselves away from the whole thing and go back to the basics of how this civilization was before. Adam and Eve had a tendency to partake of the fruit of the tree. And to realize that the nature, our true nature, is perfect. Is perfection. And the reason people think that we need all these things is also an illusion in itself, too, because what would happen if society tomorrow became a whole to be very positive, where disease, illness doesn't exist anymore? That means everybody finally realized that the illusion and what it was and stopped feeding into it. So sit there and say people need illness to snap themselves out of situations is something they manifested themselves. But do we have to focus on that as a whole? There was a guy talking about the idea of we have this bad habit of focusing on the negative because we think we have to keep reminding ourselves of those things so therefore we can motivate ourselves in the positive way. So if we sit here and look at the situation of true nature and what we really are, with the ideal realizing that we were created in the image of a great God, it was perfect. And the only reason we're not perfect is because we don't think we are. Because if you sit here and look at the situation of Adam and Eve, you sit here and look at the situation, is it because they felt bad and guilty? I mean, look at most people that you've ever come in contact who do things. Their guilt and how they feel about themselves can be harder. They can be harder on themselves than anybody else could ever punish them. So they punish themselves. So how we know that we started this big chain reaction because Adam and Eve felt unworthy and they wanted to punish themselves to the point right now that's all we're doing. We see this all the time. More that seems to be more prevalent than anything than looking at situations of certain things of saying people need this, people need that. We also can take a step back and look at the situation and go, okay, do we need to feed into those kind of things? Do we need to feed into other people's paths? Or do we sit here and focus on ourselves and realize that we came here too with our own path? So let's focus on that. I had a lady talking the other day where we have people with perceptions or also trying to get everybody else to see their way of things, their way of thinking, and they get angry when you don't. But that could also fall in the same category as I always said. You know, misery loves company, and I don't want to go. You know, it's like, seriously, I was sitting there thinking about this the other day. Just the other day, I was sitting there going over some things, and I was thinking about, I was working with some lady who's having trouble with a mortgage company. The mortgage company is trying to take her house. You know what's so funny about this whole story is? She's never been behind on a payment.
Okay.
She's never been behind. They've never been behind on a payment. They've never missed a payment. They've never done nothing. And the mortgage company came in and said, this is our perception. We rip people off all the time. And we want you to see that's the normal thing to do, and there's nothing you can do. Okay? So you see that whole scenario? But I told them, what you need to do is focus on your perception and what you see as the outcome. I don't care what anybody says. Positive always overrides negative, and evil always loses. If that wasn't the truth, then why do they try so hard to pull us down? You ever notice positive people? They just set an example, and people have a tendency to want to be more positive. But negative people, they work hard at it to prove a point. So you ask yourself, you want to do all that freaking craziness? Or do you want to sit there and just allow life to be the way it's supposed to be? Because it's amazing how we have animals and we have all kinds of, trees and grass. They don't force to grow. They don't have to pay rent. They don't have to do anything. They just exist. And they continue without no hardships, without no kind of craziness about the whole thing. Are we putting too much into the whole thing, thinking there are certain things we have to do, you know, because the world says so? Or maybe that's the reason people are being so pulled and so strongly in the direction of being more spiritual and looking for balance within their lives, to realize the balance is not the ideal of having all kinds of cash, but the ideal of the balance and actually having a great life is having balance within yourself and not feeding into all that craziness. And when we sit and look at the situation, everybody thinks insurance is good. Insurance is not good. There's a lot of people getting ripped off. I mean, how come insurance companies just say, insurance company goes, you know something? You need to buy this insurance just in case your house burns down, just in case this, you know, earthquakes, and just because And when it's all said and done with and you sell your house, how come you don't get the insurance money back when these things don't happen? What gives them the right to keep the money? And why is there always all this legal stuff going on to make sure insurance doesn't go away? I mean, right now we have mandatory seatbelts. We have all this stuff of people mandatorying on every freaking aspect of every little thing out there. Why are they so dead bent on keeping these things? Because of their own fears. I mean, like somebody in the chat room was talking about, it's bizarre what's going on, but it's based on fear. People are ripping other people off because of the lack of limitation. And actually, the definition of sin is the lack of. And when you see people who have lack of money or the lack of confidence they can have money, they have a tendency to end up stealing it from everybody. When they have a fear that something's going to happen, which is another lack, you know, when people have a lack of love, they have a tendency to take it. They force themselves on somebody. And we've also noticed people who have adultery and all these other things. It's not really the idea of two people needing each other. There's actually two fears feeding off each other, are scared that they're never going to find happiness, so therefore they have a tendency to venture out. They're not content. They're not happy. It's, you know, and when you sit there and, hello, how you doing? And we got letter, oh, I got some smoke in my eyes. We have letter panda bear. How you doing today? Love to get some calls in here, guys. Give us a call right now at 646-721-9031. I'd like to talk to some of you lovely people out there and answer some questions for you. It would be fantastic to get those things going on. Also, like I was saying before, I don't want to get too far off the track, but I'm just saying relationships are like this. Relationships don't work with anybody or anything until they work with yourself. You know, when you sit and talk about the situation, I mean, look at the idea of people ripping other people off. When you trace it back, that's what you're going to find out. That person don't like themselves. There's something about there's a lack within them somewhere down the line that they're trying to make up for it somewhere else. You know, it's kind of funny. I did, and I was thinking about the same thing they were talking about too, when they were talking about banks and these other things. There was actually a bank on Wall Street, the most legitimate bank there is, was actually caught ripping people off. And you wonder why. The economy, I swear to you, when you look at the economy and everything going on out there, it's not that freaking bad. There's people making all kinds of good stuff going on. It's the idea when you feed into these dorks on freaking television. And the quickest way to stop feeding into that is stop watching TV. We don't realize exactly what kind of energy and what kind of stuff is actually coming through that television. So I started looking at it going, my goodness, it's driving me crazy. So I think when I sit here and say we need to focus, take a step back and start focusing on ourselves, what I mean by that is it's when you start, we need to start focusing on ourselves realistically. Why? Because I sit here and look at, like I said the other day, the lady said, you know something, this guy doesn't love me enough. And I said, that's because the reason you see it that way, because you haven't loved yourself enough. Actually, I was reading my book. I was actually reading this one book, if I can find it, where it actually says sin, the definition of sin is the lack of. When you have the lack of, more likely you miss the mark or the target. Because when you have lack of, you don't think you can even hit the target. And that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, okay, will you ever get married? I don't know. So I think I'll still dude's wife over here. You know, we were talking about this the other day, too. If you sit here and look at the situation of things are going on in your life, and don't you ever, I don't know about you, Dee, but I always thought about when I looked at someone's yard and they had this big old sign that's got the Ten Commandments on it, I wonder what was actually reflecting about them. Not the message that they thought they were trying to tell everybody, but I think they were trying to tell themselves something as well. So why is this sign being on the front? Everybody's missing it. Is everybody really missing it? Are you missing it too? And you're trying to remind yourself to take a step back and do the same thing as well. So you put a big old sign in your front yard saying, I missed it. I get it. But the rest of you guys got to get it too. Anyway, let's check our queue and see what's up with you. Yep, we're still waiting for those people to call in. I still feel like the queue should be filled right now to the queue, to the tilt. For some reason, I'm losing the track of the whole thing. Did I drink too much milk today or what? Oh, that's right. I don't drink milk. Anyway.
Okay, then.
No, I was sitting going over some things.
Soy milk is really good, though.
What's that?
I said soy milk is really good, though.
Soy milk's good, except for it smells like a horse pasture. Anyway. If I could get past
try
the
some
smell,
carob flavored rice drink.
Yeah, I used to get the rice milk. The rice milk's about on the same level. It's most
the
rice
the carrot
milk
flavored.
Too.
That's pretty good.
Well, I always get the one with the vitamin-rich rice milk, vanilla.
Yeah.
I got that one.
I used to take the carob stuff.
I'm just saying, when you drink that kind of milk, it's great to eat Cheerios. Because you don't have to put any sugar on it. Believe me, I haven't tended to go overboard on the sugar thing. So anytime I can actually find an alternative, like rice milk and that kind of thing, it makes it a lot easier, you know, focus, that kind of stuff. It is amazing. Sometimes, too, I was there going over some definitions of what you need to do to actually have a clearer you in order to actually have your intuition really at the par. And I actually had a list of stuff where they were talking about things you need to eliminate from your diet. Oh, look, we have a caller in queue. Okay.
Woo!
Let's bring on a caller. Hello, caller. Here you go.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys
hello.
Doing?
Good.
Hi. Say hello to April and Dee.
Do what?
Oh, we have April and Dee with us. Say hello.
Oh, hello.
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 This is Amanda Burr. My name is Amanda.
Your name is
Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Are you the one in the queue? What's the cute name? What was it?
The Let Panda Bear?
Letter? Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Cool, I love panda bears.
Yeah, I do too. Okay,
so
I got a question.
Part of my teddy collection.
Do I?
Go.
Oh, I was just going to ask, what do you guys think about the, what's the best way of putting it, the higher UFO sighting that happened at the first of this year? They've kind of dwindled down. They're not as erratic as they were.
That's because the Atlanteans are not so, I don't know. I was looking at the situation. I said, we saw a craft come out of the water. And this one guy's theory was, the reason it went into the water was because it was trying to camouflage itself so you couldn't see it, when you actually saw it go into the water. So I said, that's kind of a contradiction, isn't it? I said, what I felt like with the whole thing was, these are like crafts that the Atlanteans are using that they can actually go from the water to the air, to the air to the water, which makes it easier to transport their butts from their five or six little colonies they have throughout the world. So
yeah,
we're seeing all those things. So what happens is, it's like anything else. Remember, with our society, when we have, like, for example, when we have spring break, everybody's little butts flock in the Daytona Beach or all these other places, so you have a flock of human race going in one direction. Because we have a tendency, after winter months, we go through this thing called cabin fever, so we all start migrating and doing all kinds of stuff to get ourselves back out into the, to get us or back out in the world and start experimenting and actually being what the human race is very good for. They like communing. They like being with others.
Yeah.
They have a tendency, sometimes they don't, but there's always that longing, you know. So
yeah,
you look at, so just imagine that you're Atlantean and you're living under the ocean and you're trying to keep yourself as conspicuous as possible because you don't want to deal with it. So, but you still get curious after about a couple hundred years. You want to come out and you want to check out the human race and see how far they have advanced.
Right.
So then we start having all these. Yeah, we start having these UFOs. And if you notice, these UFO sightings are the more phenomenal ones are always around military bases, technology.
Yeah.
There's actually the Hoover Dam used to get a lot of them, too. And we have these great strides in our society. And all of a sudden, you get UFO sightings. But you know the one
yeah.
place you don't see a lot, but you know the one place you don't see a lot of UFO sightings?
Where's that?
The pyramids.
That's true. You really don't hear of anybody really seeing anything there.
No, you don't. You don't see anything around the Mayas, any kind of pyramids or any kind of situation. Like when they found, I don't know if you saw this one, but they had this thing on the History Channel where they actually found what they think is right near Japan, running to the surface. It's like a huge pyramid, and it's got sections and cuts in it. Now, scientists, you always got these dumbass scientists that are sitting there going, oh, you know, that's nature. And this guy goes, we have 90-degree angles. And these
right?
things, I mean, when you see this whole thing, you're thinking, going, are people so freaking, so scared to death that something just might exist that they're going to come up with some kind of crazy, elaborate thing? Because I was sitting there reading some reports on UFOs, and some of the things they came up with to explain these things, you sit and go, okay, I want you to say UFO. Doesn't that sound simple to you, man? A UFO sighting.
Yeah.
A freaking thing came down here. Instead of saying, well, what we think it is, it's bubbles coming up from the air that meet with this other stuff, and it twists around, and then it goes towards St. Louis and comes back around, hops over to Florida, and then kills all the frogs.
Yeah, but see, they're not gonna admit to anything that's not scientifically explainable. That's just how it is. I mean, they've already gotten...
True.
If it's the case that they know, then it's probably the fact that they're so far into a lie now that I don't see that they could just... They might be able to open up now and just come out with
mm-hmm.
it and be like, hey, you know what? We've talked to them. We know them. They come here. You know, whatever. There might be a little bit of state of panic, but now religions are just set, and they're accepting
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, the Pope came out and said, hey, aliens are acceptable. Accept them. They're God's creatures, too. You know, so...
Yeah. There must be something going on, because now the Vatican has actually acknowledged and accepted aliens.
Oh, yeah, the Pope came out and made a big announcement about it. that aliens are okay. Accept them when they come. You know, it makes you kind of wonder if they actually know something.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. Like, something's going to be coming out here real soon that they're going to be, like, they're going to say, we're going to jump in the bandwagon first. So when it does happen, you're going to hear first, boys. You know, so they're going to cover their asses, as they always do. You know, the Vatican is a Vatican's a wild place because actually the Vatican, this huge complex is the Vatican is actually classified as a country.
Yeah.
And so when you sit there and what you're looking at is a country who's covering his ass and coming out and saying, hey, we got it, we acknowledge it, we accept it, because we already know in this. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they got their little UFO sitting down somewhere in a cavern.
Right.
Know? And they sit there and say, well, this is going to come out. So we got to do something. And then they had that one guy. Remember years ago that one guy with the glasses came out and said he used to work at Area 51? And he was actually working on 4 to 5 different styles of UFOs. And they were trying to figure out how these things work.
Yeah.
Now, everybody thought it was crazy. But if I was in his shoes... That is the one thing I would want to do. If you come out public, I mean, extreme public, they're not going to mess with you. Or have
right.
they. Because since I came out, has anybody ever heard from him anymore? So
no.
I wonder.
Now, a lot of these people that come out, it's like the Disclosure Project that came out and they made this huge ordeal and everything. They're like, I got all these people and they've all come from substantial backgrounds and stuff like that and they're credible and... Then what happened to it? It just stopped.
Yeah,
I can't. I mean, it's on the internet, but it just stopped. Like the progression stopped.
Yeah, because I was sitting there. We were sitting there looking at the thing too, where I remember that one lady. This one lady was the farmer who actually discovered the supposedly all this stuff in his pasture down in where is that at? Nevada. Well, supposedly it was supposed to be 2 spacecrafts that actually collided and crashed, and then the farmer found one of them, and then there was another site where they said they found another. And then they came out and said no, it was a secretive project. But see, they came out first with a UFO article first, and I thought that was the most ingenious thing to do, to come out and just say, okay, we got a UFO, and then to come back later on, and say no, it was a mistake. So it kind of
well, that's how they did Area 51 that
what
crashed there. They said it was an alien. They said, we've got aliens, we've got a UFO, all this. And then they came and they said, no. It was just crash test dummies that were doing on a weather balloon or some crazy thing like that.
Well, yeah, I know. When that all happened, they said it was actually two crash areas. That was the one. The thing I was bringing up was, I remember I saw an interview with that farmer's daughter, because she's now, I mean, she's like in her 50s or 60s now, too, and she was there talking about the whole thing, and it was kind of funny that when you see people and you see these interviews, what gets me is the watch their faces, and she said her flat out, you could see the fear in her eyes, that the military said, you know, basically told her father, you say anything about this, and you could disappear. And she said that, I saw the interview of this lady happen. I said, there's certain things that you just can't fake, and they're usually facial expressions, because people have a tendency to have a way about themselves that they're not even aware of.
Well, I mean, if you learn how to read expressions, I mean, it's pretty easy to learn, and once you learn it, I mean, you can tell if somebody's lying, you can tell if they're genuinely afraid or... you know, happy or whatever.
Yeah, because I was saying, then they finally came out and said, I actually saw two. Okay, I saw two interviews, and it's amazing when you watch the Discovery Channel, depending on what kind of program you're watching, how they can take the facts and detail them in a direction to get their point across.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen both sides of the whole thing, where I was sitting watching the thing about the pyramids, and they were talking about the technology. And it was that one show they have on History Channel where it's talking about the marvels, wonderful marvels of the planet, where they start talking about medical, or not medical, but mechanical. And they started talking about the pyramids. And they were talking about the ingenuity and how the pyramids came together and that kind of stuff. And they were talking about the Egyptians were basically a bunch of tribes. And basically, in the process of becoming a great civilization, they combined those tribes together, which is what we see as Egyptian, you know, Egypt, the pyramids, and that society of those kingdoms. And it was talking about one part I saw where they were talking about the pharaohs of the old kingdom, the very first pharaohs. And they said they were very ruthless and very powerful, and basically pointing out the ideal of setting the tone for the pharaohs that came afterwards, where they would all be looked upon as gods, descendants from the head. But then I saw one yesterday where they're talking about the first pharaoh and how he brought the tribes together, but he also brought this technology. Also, at the same time of uniting these tribes, he also brought in this great technology and started looking at things in a more grander way, which we started getting into. Because people don't realize this, at the first, when the Egyptians were like in the midst of tribes and becoming that great society, that the pyramids were just basically chambers under the ground. And in the process of building these things, you had chambers underground. Then they just took a mass of dirt and threw over top of it.
Oh, seriously.
Okay, so when you start to look at the situation, okay, what was the difference? Okay, this one pharaoh comes in, which is actually this guy before he actually became really what we classify as the pharaoh. I mean, it was just the idea of the beginning of this whole thing. He brings this technology in to build these grand things on top of these things. Now, some of these people are saying that was Egyptians and their egos going amok. But in order for your ego to go to amok, you also have to have some kind of technology behind that. And they do kind of explain things out for you. Why the Egyptians didn't have the wheel? Because what they did was they were great canal builders. So they used the
wheel.
I
don't know. I'm sorry. I've had kind of a little cold. I think they had the wheel long before what we know of. I think to say they didn't have the will is just, it's underestimating them. I don't think we're giving them enough credit. I'm not saying that there wasn't any outside help. I'm just saying that I think that they did a lot more than what we thought on their own.
Well, that's true, too. But the one I was really impressed with was they were talking about near the Great Pyramid, there's these pits. Now, they thought at first they were boat pits. But this one
guy came in and think that they're saws.
Yeah, I saw this one guy, and this one guy comes across and he said, okay, he says, check this out. And he shows you a picture of one of the statues, and what's so amazing is it looks like one of those little bandsaws that you can have in your hands.
Uh-huh.
And if you ever made a mark on a piece of wood by accident, how it makes that little oval.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can actually show you on statues that kind of mark.
Oh, yeah, I think I've watched the episode that you're talking about, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's pretty interesting.
He shows the whole thing, but one thing they also go to these people. They went to this one guy who was a stonemason guy, and he looks at this thing, and this was in Puma Puku, which has basically been classified one of the oldest cities on the planet.
Oh yeah.
And they were talking about the stones that were cut, and the guy says when you're up there, it's just not the stones that are cut. He said these stones also have to be picked up, and they're interlocking. They're not like the pyramids where they're just put on top of each other. And I was also watching a show where they were talking about the pyramid. What threw me off the most was when they started talking about the pyramid in this episode, they were talking about stone and mortar. Well, from what I know of the pyramids themselves, there's no mortar.
Uh-uh.
They're just stones upon stones that are put in away so precisely that they just, it's almost like balancing it out, where the weight of the stone against another stone is equally balanced, so therefore it doesn't move, and it puts itself in place. Because they were talking about, when you go on the Great Pyramid, what's the most amazing thing about that pyramid is when you go to the Grand Gallery, or the Grand Gallery. When you go in that whole thing, and you stand and you look inside that thing, and look at the stoves and how precisely they're put together. That one guy we were talking about before, who found the saw marks, goes in there and he has a little device where he can put on the stone itself. And he said, with the tools that they had to use, he should be able to go in there and be able to shine light underneath that, because the surface on this thing should not be that smooth. But they are. And people don't realize the pyramids themselves. Yeah, the pyramids themselves, what we see, you're only seeing half a pyramid. You're seeing the stones. People don't realize what they did was they came in and built the pyramids. Then they put limestone over top of that. And then they buffed everything. So when you saw the pyramids, it didn't look like those blocks. It looked like one piece.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, if you look real closely at the pyramids, you also notice at the top of each one of those pyramids, it's flat.
Yeah.
That's because it said that the top of each one of those pyramids was also a piece of gold.
Yeah, copper or gold. They weren't sure because they haven't ever seen them. They've never found them.
Oh, they had no idea what it was. Yeah, in the same episode, they were talking about the Great Pyramid, but they were also talking about another pharaoh who actually built a pyramid, which is the same. I think it's in the same alignment as the Great Pyramid, but he built it on top of a hill. And at first, they thought that another pharaoh came in and tore that pyramid down, because when you go there, you see a chamber and a pit and a hole going down into the ground. That's what was left of that pyramid. But then they found out later on that all the stone that was used for that pyramid, that now you can find it in Cairo. They used it to build buildings with it.
Yeah.
So the person who came in, the archaeologist who came into that back in the late 1800s, which we know for a fact that back in those days, you know, archaeology was pretty at the beginning of stages of archaeology itself.
Yeah.
But this person, he found pieces that were defaced, he thought, but they were just damaged. And he misinterpreted it, or he misdiagnosed the whole thing, whatever you want to call it, and realized, because people found these things and they were under the stone and stuff, didn't realize it was just a massive teardown of just using those stones to build buildings and that kind of stuff. And someone came in and said, hey, this uses this, and that kind of stuff, and tore them down. But then again, you never know the stories that go on down through there, because the Egyptians are very secretive about a lot of things. When Edgar Casey said that the paw of the Sphinx, I think it's on the left side, that you will find a chamber where the Atlanteans have put their library.
Yeah, they found big like chambers, like what did they call them? They're like boxes almost. I think it's how they were trying to describe them.
Well, yeah, they took some radars to like they're almost like those metal detectors, but they're a little more elaborate than that. They took them over there. They found the chambers, but see, what the biggest problem is Egyptians will only allow you to do certain things, and Egyptians, as far as I know, the last time I checked, we're not going to allow anybody to go in there to find out what they were all about.
Yeah.
Because actually, if you take the story of Plato, you will trace it back to Egypt, where the story originated from.
Well, you know, there's a theory that goes on about the Great Pyramid, is that the chambers and stuff, that they were actually built for a hydrogen plant. That's one theory that they have.
They say when you introduce gas, when you introduce two gases into the pyramid, you introduce gases through ventilation shafts into the queen's chamber, then you will emit another gas into the king's chamber.
Yeah.
But there was a certain time that if you build a pyramid for a pharaoh and kind of stuff, yes, they did believe in the afterlife, but they also felt like in the afterlife there were certain things you didn't do, you know? So they were kind of curious about the ventilation shafts. They started realizing maybe they're not ventilation shafts. Because the ventilation shafts, back in the mid-90s, I think it was actually a team that actually sent one of the mechanical robots up through those chambers. What stopped them, I remember watching the episode, they get about halfway through it, and they came up on a part where it was a stone. Then it came down. And they also had some other technology where they could see they could detect that there was another room behind that plate. And they said, if you look at the plate itself, the plate is designed to come down and not be moved once he comes down. So they were trying to figure out what they were either protecting or defending themselves against, or whichever way you want to look at it. And then they finally got past that point and found it was in these empty rooms. And then you start wondering, there was a lot of curiosity on that whole thing too, when they're starting to think about what was the Great Pyramid for. I mean, in the writings and stuff like that, it talks about the pharaohs built these places to be buried. But then we have this elaborate thing called the Valley of the Kings, and there's also a thing called the Valley of the Queens. That, you know, you're starting, the pharaoh who actually built the pyramid. And actually, Khufu, this is, from all the research I've done on Khufu, they haven't found him. And and with the whole thing about everything around him, they've only found one little thing. They found a statue about 2 or 3 inches big. But besides that, there's only kind of any kind of thing that we can get any kind of resemblance on that he might have had a part of. And some people think that the Sphinx face is his too, that he redid it in his own image.
Yeah.
That it was originally and one thing I always wondered too, that if you notice in Egypt when they do the Sphinx, there's always two.
Yeah.
There's always two, and a lot of you know, we have the combination between. We had this thing when we were talking about the two, about the animals, half animal, half human, and they were talking about how that kind of spun off to Egyptian, Atlantean too. And I was sitting there going, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with great technology that even with Atlanteans, I'm sure there was some people who never took in consideration, should you do it? You know, should you do it? Not if you can, but should you? To the point where you should step back and ask yourself, pushing things to extremes that someone actually dabbled into. Because realistically, when you look at the idea of the cross between animal and human, you also can trace it back to Atlantis too, but you also notice it didn't happen very much. And it was almost like a little niche in time that you'll see it in Egyptians. And who else is there? There's also a lot of other civilizations around the Mediterranean that you don't see any of this, except for like in Greek and Roman and Egyptian. You have the half animal, half human. But you also have, you only have so many of these hybrids. You don't have a whole society of these things. Where when a monk, all you have is you have certain things like they have the one god who's half bull and half human. Then you have the other legends about half horse and half man. Then you have Pan. Then you have Pan, who is actually, what is Pan? He's part human.
He was half goat and half human.
Right.
He was a satyr.
Right.
I think, what they're called.
So there's curiosity on certain these things, but when you look at the situation of these animals and half human, you have to look at the ideal of a society who's actually tapping in to the strengths of certain animals, because it's a bull and actually a goat. If you really tap into the strength of a goat and look how they live, there's a lot of strength in that too. Also, we also have the Sphinx, which is half lion and half human. So it's always these very strong animals, but you've never seen a half dog and half man, or a half cat, and that kind of thing, or even the elephant. Just these.
No, there's a half dog and half cat. There's the Egyptian god. There's the Egyptian god Beset. She was a queen or a goddess or whatever, and then she was half cat and half human. And then there was Anubis. He's half dog and half human, and he was the one who was supposed to take care of bandaging them and sending them off to burial.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There are other animals, too. I'm trying to think. I want to say that it's out at Puma Punku, but there's some kind of drawing or something of, I think there's Animorph out there, too, which is the half animal, half human.
What's that one?
I can't remember. I know there's one that has a dinosaur on it, too. Or what looks to be a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, last year we were doing shows on how to trace things back to Atlantis, like Star Wars, where you have humans and what that animal was. What was that one? Yoki, or what was those things called? The Star Wars? A Wookiee, or something like that?
Yeah, a Wookiee. Chewbacca?
I was hanging out with Skywalker, I think. Anyway, yeah. I was understanding what a lot of you said about visions of these kind of animals, which are actually can be traced back to Bigfoot, or the, what's the one, the Himalayas, what's it called? The bottomless mountain.
The Yeti.
Yeah, the Yeti, which is actually the same thing, which is in a different environment. So it has a tendency to take on different ones of actually probably being more hairy than the one you would find in California and other places with Bigfoot. They realize that
right.
maybe what's going on is there is no such thing as a missing link. It's just a missing civilization where these animals and Atlanteans coexist with each other. They also have to think about looking at Atlanteans in a way of looking at Native Americans.
Yeah.
Same kind of outfit, that kind of stuff, same kind of spirituality. But just take it 10 times more intense. But also seeing, they were talking about the Loch Ness Monster, where they always felt like this thing always went somewhere, where it could actually
yeah.
be Atlanteans who still exist, who are actually raising these things. Same thing with Australia. Australia has a lot of sightings about mermaids and that kind of stuff. But it could actually be the idea of just, you know, sometimes people have a tendency to see things, and when you see them, you have a tendency to sit there and describe them and put things on those things to explain what you saw. When it could actually
yeah.
be seeing, you know, seeing you. Because I don't know if anybody knew this. I actually seen a show they were doing research on where they said that they actually did some samples of a human, us. They took samples
mm-hmm.
of their lungs, and they actually, when they sit there and did an autopsy and was actually doing research on the lungs itself, they actually found a resemblance between our lungs and a fish.
And a fish?
Where we had gills. Or not gills. Yeah, you're talking about the idea of breathing or the idea of adapting.
Yeah.
Because the one thing they can't sit there and dispute is the human body does have a really strong way of adapting.
Oh, yeah, we're very adaptable creatures.
As I was sort of talking about, they had this one show, and it drove me nuts, because they were showing this guy, he got bit by a spider, and it was all this radiation and stuff, but they showed a spider taking over the human. They don't realize that in the true form of those things, what will really happen is that usually the host has a tendency to take that form inside of itself, because the spider is like a primitive life form. But the human
right.
body is so complex that what it would do is it would definitely do like Spider-Man. It would just adapt those things into the body and use them accordingly to actually make the human body more resilient and actually be able to really take advantage of its environment and actually dominate the environment to the point where, you know, you might actually see spiders themselves disappear.
Right.
And, you know, and in the primitive way they do things, that would actually be X'd out in favor of the human condition. So it's amazing
yeah.
people, you know, like, okay, great. This will take a look at those things and say, it's a great movie. But the way society is getting any more, because I was telling a friend of mine, when I sit here and look at the situation of people, why they're so drawn to Atlantis, because it's almost like society coming full circle.
Yeah.
They want to go back to something because it was like, imagine being in a society where there's mass meditations. Everybody in everybody's life has something to do with spirituality, if it's not Reiki and impressions and that kind of stuff. But also on another level of looking at all these gifts that people have, like telepathic. Realistically, if you do any kind of relationship counseling, you will notice one thing. The couples always have brought out of each other telepathic abilities.
Right.
And it's a human. What happens is the human condition has a tendency to make the woman think, he's not paying attention to me. When realistically what's going on, because what happens is, why do we have mouths if we can talk telepathically? I think it's because
right.
of the ideal of getting past certain fears. And then once we open ourselves up to each other completely, then we start talking on a mental level, and then therefore
yeah.
we don't need to verbally do it. It's always our fears that make us think, okay, you love me, but I want to hear it. So that's actually feeding into a fear,
right?
Because you have your own fears of lack of self, the lack of loving yourself, that someone has to do that for you, and you have to hear it, not realizing with the connection that you already have with each other, you should open yourself up to realize, and you've been always feeling it. Because I've had a lot
right.
of things I've done with women lately where it's like this. They'll sit there and go, hey, you know something? I feel like this guy loves me more than he's letting on. I feel like there's a whole lot more here. He's hiding his feelings. See, they feel. But on the surface, he's not expressing those feelings.
Right.
But on the same note, we have to look at the woman, too, and say, okay, she said he's not expressing himself on the surface, but she's not trusting her own heart of what she feels, even though she keeps telling you, I feel he loves me more. And you don't understand. It's like looking at her going, why don't you take it back one step and realize that the connection that you have, and maybe what you need to do is love yourself more and send it through the communication that is actually going on between the two of you mentally.
Right.
That's how come men have a tendency to go, I think you should find someone better because I don't think I'm worthy. But in your heart, you're going, well, he loves me. Why did he do that? Because he's not willing to do the same thing. But what I'm saying is, if you look at the mirror image here, what's going on, she's not honoring her feelings either. So it makes perfect sense why he's not. But as soon as she gets back to being herself and really trusts what is really going on within her heart and what she's really feeling, she sends a message to him by her being herself, then he becomes himself. And then
right.
the relationship progresses to go forward again. But we're not willing to take that step because of the fear. I'm not saying we can't. I'm saying sometimes we don't have a willing to do that. It's too easy. But when you sit here and look at Atlantean, see, Atlanteans believe in one thing. People think it's kind of crazy. Okay, we're all telepathic now. We all know each other's secrets. Oh, you don't realize one thing with Atlantis and their society, there was no secrets. And if you sit here and look at the situation, what secrets are in the first place, they're insecurities that we keep to ourselves.
Right.
So, see, in a great society like that, the reason it worked for so long, and I think it still does, is because the ideal of preserving what is really true, which is really focusing on the true self. The true self is the ideal. We're naturally loving, caring people.
Right.
It's always the fears on the surface that make us do the craziest things. So we're all being pulled back. So we're all looking at this Atlantean thing going, you know, simple. Great technology. Like I was talking with, like April was saying, she saw cars, you know, she saw, you know, certain things and that kind of stuff, but they just wasn't the same as we see them. And I think it was so fascinating about Atlantis is to realize, I was telling someone, the reason I bring up that Disney movie so many times, because I said, imagine watching the movie, and you see this guy, he gets on this little flying machine. He puts his hand on a pad, all right?
Right.
He puts the crystal in a keyhole. And then you sit there and step back and you go, that's all a human concept. I said, take it back. Look at the thing. It's still powered by a powerful crystal. But also the powerful crystal is also an energy-based thing, which is also based on mental energy, or I don't know if you want to call it brain energy or whatever. But it's that's conscious energy. So what the guy does is he puts his hand on the pad. If you want to go that route, I think it actually was more simpler than that. It was just, I'm getting on this machine, and I tell it what to do.
Right.
And you zip off. The same thing with cars and that kind of stuff. If you notice technology, how it's going, where we're trying to come up with cars that drive while we're doing right.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, we'll be reading the newspaper, or the car drives for itself, and it does everything for us. Well, it's one of those things that we're still so mechanical. That we don't, like we were saying the other day, people don't realize that all the technology we have is actually shadow of the things that we can do within ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, the technology that, it's like we have all kinds of communicational technology where we don't realize we could actually telepathically talk to each other all the time. We don't need cell phones. So if we're, what I'm saying is, if he keeps talking about certain gadgets have a tendency to cause certain medical or certain physical ailments and that kind of stuff. And I said, it's because we're so reliant on them that we don't realize, or we can do. And actually with technology, seriously, technology has taken over to the point where I think we've actually stopped feeling.
Yeah, I think it's brought us closer together, but it's separated us in other important ways.
Like every other technology, right? That technology that says, well, I can talk to someone across the planet. At the same time, technology is also good for people who don't want to sit there and want to be seen.
Right.
So we actually use it to hide. So there's other people who use it to say, okay, let's go on the cam, I want to see you. But there's other people saying, leave the camera off, and this is tight. As a relationship as a relationship counselor, I've heard all kinds of crazy things. You know, a lady comes to me, she goes, me and my boyfriend are right now at the texting phase. And I'm like, what is a texting phase? And she said, well, you know, we met on the internet, we've been talking, and now we're texting. I'm sitting there going, man, this is what I tell people in the process of any of this stuff. If possible, and the way things work out, I understand there's different circumstances and different situations and different ways they're approaching things, but I still feel like when you meet someone on the internet and things work out really good, that a person should meet each other as soon as possible, if not in the first 2 days. And this one person said, that's just too fast. And I said, man, get your head out of your ass and stop playing games.
Right.
And stop hiding. I said back in the day, you didn't see dumbasses, oh, I got to hide behind the wagon because there's a woman. No, he walked up to her and said, just go out. Or heck, just
right.
Go to what? You know?
And people have lost that. They don't
exactly.
Really hold on to that anymore. It's just kind of gone.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. The 2012 and the readings I've been doing lately, everybody's getting tired of it. They're starting to realize they're missing out. They're not gaining as they thought they did. Now they're sitting there going, I have people call me all the time saying, I'm tired of working this stupid job. I want to find my life purpose. I want to find my life partner. And they're just not compromising anymore. And that's what the imbalance was. See, in the process of compromise, a lot of technology was discovered. A lot of technology was created for looking for something. Okay? Not realizing we don't need the technology to find ourselves anymore. Now we're finding ourselves, and we're finding ourselves being discontented because of the things we put ourselves into. People working 12 and 14 hours a day because they said, I can't get everything done, and I can't get everything done in 8 hours. What we find out is we take those people, put them on a nice little program, and say, okay, buddy, you can only look at your email 3 times a day. When you're at work, you can't use your cell phone. When you're with your family, you cannot use your cell phone. Anytime you're interacting with human beings, you cannot use your cell phone.
Right.
You cannot be on the computer. What it's saying is, we're going to teach you how to live the now. So where you're here, be here. If you're at work, if you're working out, be working out. If you're driving your car, be in your car. If you're at work, be at work. What they found out was, these people can now get their work done in 8 hours. To the point where their bosses are actually coming to them, because that's another thing, they're feeding the fear. They're thinking, if I don't work this 12 or 14 hours a day, I'm going to get fired. What they found out was, too, that the bosses are coming to them and saying, okay, now you've got a life. Who do I go to get one myself?
Yeah.
So what's happening is technology, in the sense of what's happening, is getting a backlash, too. So it's like, okay. But you see how these things are doing? Technology has also created problems within itself, too, where people are spending 14 to 16 hours a day watching television. And then the thing I saw on television, why are people being so drawn to working with nature and just making simplicity? Simplicity, that's what they're looking for, simplicity.
Right.
Have you seen these things on television where you have these obese people weighing 400 and 600 pounds?
Were they what?
They weigh 400 to 600 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you're sitting there trying to explain people that, this lady looked at me today and she's like, how can we correct relationships? I said, from a woman's point of view and some of the things I've seen, there's too many people who have a tendency to baby the other side.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there looking at the situation. So technology is causing really a lot of physical ailments, too, where we're having people who are weighing so much and all the other things that are going on.
Right. Well, like you said, it created more problems, and it created more problems online, too. I mean, we now have what's called cyber war. That was stuff that was, you know, talked about in movies. It was science fiction. It was never going to happen, but now we actually have it. I mean, that anonymous group goes in, and they just do whatever they want when they can get away with it. And other people are talking about sending out viruses and stuff like that as a form of warfare.
Yeah, but
cause a lot of problems.
I'm just saying, we get back to our spiritual selves.
Yeah.
These things can't hit us, even in the sense, because I saw this the other day. I was listening to Joel Osteen, and he said there was a thing that came up where they did autopsies on people who had passed away, and they noticed that on some people they had lesions on their brains where they should have had Alzheimer's and dementia, but when they were alive, they didn't. And what he's saying is, just because it can be, doesn't mean you have to allow it. He says we don't realize how powerful we are to the point where we don't have to feed into these things. He said it's amazing that how things can change so quickly if we allow them to, that it doesn't take very long at all. Some people say, well, you know, I want to manifest a car. They think they have to go through, it's like one of the things to realize that what they're thinking is they're allowing the world to filter into their manifestation. They're realizing, okay, you know, if I get a piece of gum, 5 minutes. If I want a car, it's going to take 6 months. But see, that's another person's mentality of thinking who more likely bought something on credit that took a period of time to get it. So his mentality still works that way in the process of manifesting, but he thinks he has to pay his dues month by month before he gets that car. He doesn't realize he can manifest tomorrow.
Right.
It's just the idea of reformulating your mind and your brain. So everybody goes, okay, what's the combination? What's the pull to Atlantis? Is you realize that, you know, Atlantis, people didn't sit there and worry about things. You know, they sit there and feed into nothing. It's like the idea of the economy. What is the economy? If there was no human race, there would be no economy. So therefore, how the economy thinks and focuses in what direction it's going into usually creates the imbalances within the economy. So these dumbass people who are ripping people off, all they're doing and raising prices because they're scared and fearful of what they're losing or what they're not going to get. So they raise the prices, now they get that money back, they don't realize what they're actually doing is still creating an imbalance within the economy.
Yeah.
And we sat there and had this one of the shows last year where we were talking about a picture of Atlantis like this, mass consciousness. But also you have a society that's so positive that you have, so mass consciousness is positive. The economy, as in a sense of energy, okay, that the Atlanteans took that and used crystals to harness that energy to create an energy source. So therefore, when you focus on the society as a whole, and it's in a positive way with energy itself, the society will thrive and take care of itself because it's working as a whole. So therefore, we don't have all this craziness we have today where there's one guy was brought up, which I thought was interesting too, because it's true. The only mammals on this freaking planet who actually pay to live here are us.
Yeah.
And we're at the top of the food chain. Why are we doing that?
Yeah, I hear that.
We should all be working together. I saw this about 3 or 4 months ago. There's actually a country in the Middle East that makes their society and the people who live there is the truest form of any kind of society I've ever seen, because the people of that society and the government itself work hand in hand, where all the people there get everything for free. Medical.
Oh, wow.
Their housing. That's because the country itself is tapped into a source that actually supplies the whole country to the point where the government strives every year to make sure that the people who live there are also very happy and content, because as a whole, they have no crime, basically. They have nothing because everything is supplied for them to the point where all they got to do, basically, is go out and do what their life purpose. And that's what I tell a friend like, look at Star Trek. Star Trek's based on you go out and you live what you want to do with your life. In the process of living your life, you know, society works again as a whole. So everything's supplied for you in the
right.
ideal to help you achieve your goals. And then in the process of you doing that, it's a chain reaction that it sets off a balance that everybody's needs are being met because everybody's fulfilling their life purpose. And that's how
right.
it works. And that's what everybody's working toward right now. And that's what I was telling you before when I was talking about society, and I was also talking about Atlantis when I was talking about the Disney movie. If you watch the Disney movie, they talk about a great crystal. And they also
yeah.
talk that they created this energy source. But people don't realize the energy source, if you notice the people in that movie, when the energy source started fluctuating, it's because the society itself was fluctuating because of how they felt about themselves. But
yeah.
as long as it was focused in a positive way and things were focused and they wasn't feeding into their fears, the energy was very strong, and it was also based on a crystal.
Right.
So when you sit and see these things, you're like wondering to yourself, okay, are we watching, you know, people's fantasies? Are their imagination going amok? Are we actually seeing people who are actually tapping on suppressed feelings and emotions
yeah.
and these memories from the past? Because I've seen too many, visions and stuff. I've just seen too many things that resonate with you. Like I did a past life reading for this lady and tapped into when she was in Egypt. And she actually came over here with five or six people from Atlantis and realized that when we started putting all the facts together, you know, not one person discovered Atlantis, but when you take all these people who thought they discovered Atlantis and you take all the facts from all of them and put them together, you start coming up with a picture of realizing that Atlantis had more of an influence on the planet than we had conceived before.
Right.
That not one person has discovered Atlantis, but they've actually found bits and pieces across the globe, piecing those together.
Yeah.
But arrogance and egos, I found Atlantis. Well, good
yeah.
for you. But they
yeah.
haven't taken the. I don't think they've actually taken the evidence and put it together. All those guys have come together and do it. Because I saw the alien astronauts. Well, they actually topped on Atlantis for a period of time. But they were
yeah.
also doing this thing, saying Atlantis was influenced. We actually had a show last year. We started talking about, I think Atlantis tapped into something. Because we were talking about, if you, in Star Trek, it talks about when they discovered warp power. All of a sudden, society kicked into gear, and advancements went from, you know, years to almost spontaneous because of tapping
yeah.
into something and also discovering they wasn't the only ones here in this universe. They started realizing those things. So their minds was taken to the point where they realized there was a limitation. So they
yeah.
So the consciousness expanded, is what I'm trying to say. Their consciousness expanded to the point where they start realizing what's holding us back is telling somebody that we can't do it because we have the money.
Yeah.
And started looking for solutions and started realizing, like I told people before when we started talking about money, that money comes to you in so many avenues, but you're only allowing it to come through one avenue because that's what you've been conditioned to believe. But when you take those conditions away and realize that there is no limitations to your power, then you can tap into that.
Yeah.
And when you tap into that, then you start seeing these great strides in success, and you'll see society go from primitive to go in days. So what we do is we look at Atlantis, and we look at Atlantis like we see anything else. I mean, think about this. If Atlantis was the one who influenced the Egyptians, they also saw primitive man. And once you intersected something intelligent into it, where they passed their technology down to the Egyptians, we have these big, I mean, we have a humongous strand of these guys building these great pyramids, these great,
great
pyramids, but great huge satellites to the point, what I mean by satellites, I mean, they're these huge statues. That's what I mean
yeah.
by satellites. There's huge, these things that just stand out. They're huge. They're humongous, and you're asking yourself why. You know, what was the
right.
point? I still get amazed by that one. I can't remember that. I've seen it in one of the episodes, too, where they were talking about there's these three great slabs to this temple, and they weigh, each slab weighs 365,000 tons.
Yeah.
And they're one They're one piece of stone. They're the whole floor of this temple. If you've seen this temple, it's not exactly a small temple. So you go, okay, what happened? But then you sit back and go, okay, well, why are we always saying what happened? Why did they do it?
Yeah.
So I started thinking on the same grand that Atlantis, when Atlantis discovered the energy source that they tapped into and realized that what they could do with crystals, then their society and their advancements happened spontaneous. They just jumped from, well, you know, will take most people years and thousands of years. They found this energy source, and then all these, just imagine all the things you could do.
Right.
With an unlimited power source. You could do anything you wanted. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
How you think I'm crazy when you say, okay, there's these societies at the bottom of the ocean. How are they sustaining themselves? How they take the same technology, and you have this little colony here that can sustain itself because of the same energy. Once you tap in, I mean, it's like when we tap into gas, or when we tap into solar energy. Once we tapped into it, then everything started becoming very, very quickly an advancement. I mean, look at computers.
Mm-hmm.
Computers used to be the size of freaking buildings. And now we can have a laptop at our freaking table. And that's what I'm saying. Once we discover certain technology, all of a sudden that technology takes over and the advancements happen very quickly. Now, So I'm saying to you, if you have this is an energy source that can be powered, that can power anything you want. It's not like gas. Gas, you can only do so many things with it. Electricity, there's so many things you can do with it. But when you go back and look at solar energy, there are no limitations with solar energy. You can do almost anything with solar energy. Okay?
Yeah.
But gas is limited. Electricity is limited. And the Egyptians, and they were influenced by Atlanteans who tapped into an energy source where there was no end or no beginning. So, see, it goes back to spirituality again, which we believe in the same thing with energy. There's no ending.
Yeah.
There's no beginning or no end. And then you trace that back a little bit further. And then you have the Omega. And then you trace it back even further. Then you see nothing but pure energy, which is God.
Yeah.
So why is everyone going to go back to that? I wonder. Anyway, I'm sorry if I got kind of crazy with the whole thing, but
it's okay. I've got to get off here, though. My phone's been beeping at me for a while. It's about to die.
Beeping at you?
Yeah.
No problem. But
telling
thank
you
for
that
being
it's dying.
With. Do you have any questions that you want to ask before you beep out?
No, I think I'm good. I'll get some.
Okay.
If I think of them, I'll get them in the chat room. There's only about 8 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, sweetie, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I was basically just trying to get down to the bottom line and saying when you tap into something amazingly pure and it can be done, you can almost do anything with it, then your society usually really advances very quickly. And we have I have a friend of mine, Candy O'Donnell. She has a show. I wish I had some more information, but she has a book. She talks about Atlantis, but she also talks about the three falls of Atlantis, the three periods of Atlantis, which is kind of funny because when we look at Egyptian, we also have three kingdoms, the old, so we have three. So there's a lot of times when you sit down and really look at the two, it does make you wonder what kind of energy source the Egyptians had too, because it's been a proven fact. There's a lot of things that can be proven, and the Egyptians, scientists come up with some elaborate reasons why they're not. But the one thing I would take a look at is they can't just do one thing. The Egyptians had batteries.
Oh, they had
something.
They had light bulbs. They did.
Exactly.
There's proof of it on a wall, and there's no burn marks down those tunnels, and you couldn't get fire down there anyway. It wouldn't breathe.
Especially when they build the pyramids. Because when you get the pyramids, you know, we all have been in caverns and stuff when you can feel the thin air. Our bodies can adapt, but a torch won't. A torch will go out. And they showed the copper mirrors. But they also showed the copper mirrors were also limited, too.
Yeah.
They had their limitations. But if you had a light bulb or some kind of energy source, you could still use the copper mirrors.
Right. Well,
they had
the Baghdad battery and stuff, too, so.
That's the thing I'm talking about. The Egyptians knew of electricity.
Yeah.
So maybe we can't find power lines and we can't find things, but we're also focusing on our mentality, what we know of electricity, that we had power lines and sockets. But the Egyptians knew electricity, you know, but if they had any kind of assistance
right.
from the landing, and realize it, and maybe, we've even said this, I was studying this before too, that they said they could take a crystal about the size of your laptop, and you can
yeah.
take all the information from the computers of the Pentagon and store
uh-huh.
it on that one store it on that one crystal.
Oh yeah,
so,
yeah. If we can figure out how to do it.
Well, did you know this? They also discovered. They've already discovered a connection to Atlantis. They've discovered crystals that have information on them. It's just for us to figure it out, how to tap into the information on those crystals to see what's going on. So therefore, what we're looking at, when we sort of look at the Atlantean library that might be in the Paul of the Sphinx, it might actually be stored on crystals. That's why it's in such a small area. And I think we lost our caller. Anyway, guys, if you want to give a call in here and still get readings, we still are here to answer those questions for you. So please do so. So give us a call at 646-721-9031. I want to give a nice shout out for our sponsor to check out his product on DivineBodyWash.com. They're great products. So check them out. And also for our listeners who donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. For our listeners who donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. So check it out. That's Richard Palanga. His website is called DivineBodyWash.com. So check it out. Also, speaking of sponsorship, if you want to sponsor the show, all it takes is a flat fee of $40, and you can sponsor the show and get you and your product promoted as much as we promote everybody else on the show and everything that goes along with it. Because we appreciate all of our sponsors. We also appreciate all the callers and the listeners. And we want to appreciate you, too, for the March special. We have a thing going on where if you call me now, you can get a 60-minute reading for $33.33, or a group reading for only $77.77, which is a value of $150 flat fee. So check it out. Give me a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. I'd be glad to sit down with you and give you all the details of all the things that we got going on this month. So give us a call. And Situation, Dee does readings too. She has some great jewelry. So Dee, tell them how to get a hold of you to take advantage of those great deals you got going on too, okay? Dee? Hello? Dee? Well, I guess Dee is checking out some information on the internet, some accounts and stuff like that, because she's a busy woman, and she's got people calling her all the time, so she's probably busy with a call. So no big deal. We'll get that information out to you later on, and we'll put it in the chat room, that kind of stuff. No big deal. So one of the situations, we appreciate you all being here, and we appreciate all the people who donated to the show. And as we always say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and it's a great thing to do. Also, the situation, everything going down, all kind of stuff, we are out of here. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give love where love is given. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. That's Mountain Time. We'll be here again doing 2 hours of reading. So please join us and give us a call. And we will talk to you later. Like I always say, we're out of here.